sign alert. Yeah, we got another church sign alert. Yeah, I saw it here in Winbur, Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. Yes, the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Winbur, Pennsylvania. May it rest in peace someday. Unfortunately, it's still alive and well and living in Winbur, Pennsylvania. If I had anything to do about it, I'd take all these crazy church signs down. I'm going to tell you about this one right now. You might not seem so bad to you, but I think it's horrible. I think it's just a cliche. It's very trite, and it destroyed my peace, which isn't hard to do. Okay, here we go. This is what it said. Are you ready for this? I need some piano music. Okay, can we strike up some nice little... Oh, that's beautiful right there. Jesus is able to warm the heart on even the coldest day. Stop the music. Yes, that's it. Jesus is able to warm the heart on even the coldest day. How does he do this? I need practical information. This isn't good enough. What does he do? What Jesus are we talking about? This is at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I know very well the Jesus they preach there. He's an eternal tormentor. Oh, I see how he warms the heart. He sends it to hell. That's how he does it. Yes, I'll have mine medium rare. Thank you very much. Okay, yes, that's how he does it. Or maybe it's the fact that you're doomed unless you go to that church. Is that how he warms the heart? That does make me feel all gushy inside. It just melts me to think that I'm damned to hell for eternity unless I go to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, not to mention names or anything, in Winbur, Pennsylvania. You know, I should start a church. I really should. You know that? I should. If I had a church, I'd put signs out and I would blow people's minds. There would be traffic accidents in front of my church because they will have never seen the likes of my signs. I'd have a sign like, God has freed you from ever coming to this church. You know, that would be a good one, wouldn't it? God has freed you. Yeah. The fourth commandment is obsolete. Something like that. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God is the savior of all humanity. That's what my church sign would say. Here's one. You never see this or hear this. My church sign would say, I probably have lights going around it, you know, like a marquee type thing. You are complete in Christ. Isn't that a great one? You just don't hear that kind of thing because they don't want you to think you're complete in Christ because they want to lord it over you and condemn you. Anyhow, we are in The Church in Ruins, Clyde Pilkington's book here, brief thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter to the church. I want to amplify something I talked to you about yesterday. We talked about departing from iniquity. The concordance says, in justice. I'm in verse 19 of 2 Timothy 2. Howbeit, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knew those who were his. And let everyone who is naming the name of the Lord withdraw from injustice. King James has iniquity there. I like that, iniquity. And I told you yesterday, suggested to you, that this is not worldly iniquity. This is not criminal activity. This is religious iniquity, because that's the context. The context is these two guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who swerve as to the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred. This is iniquity of a religious variety. Again, when we hear iniquity, we hardly ever think of what goes on in the churches today. Well, this is where I think the Concordant version works well. Injustice. How just is it of God to condemn most of humanity to hell for eternity for making one mistake? In an evil-ridden world, people are born in sin, they're born dying, and some kids, you know, they're born with diseases, their mothers are drunks or alcoholics or cocaine users, they have a disadvantage in life, they never hear about Jesus, they die, and they're going to hell for eternity because they never went to the altar when the little bell rang, you know, like Pavlov's dogs, ding, 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 drool on command, and they're going to hell for, that is unjust. The God of Christianity is unjust. These are religious sins. They're the worst kind of sins. I love what A.E. Nock says. In one place, he says, religion is the best cloak evil ever had. Do you know how much damage religion has done in the name of Christ in the world? You know how many people hate God because they think he's an eternal tormentor? They think he's lost control of his universe? I say, depart, withdraw from injustice. Whoever is naming the name of the Lord truly has withdrawn from injustice, from iniquity. They have done this by refusing to attend churches like the Lighthouse Baptist Church that throws platitudes at you. Why don't you just needlepoint that and put it on the wall? Jesus will warm your heart. How does he do that? Give me practical information. How does he do that? Oh, you're complete in Christ and you no longer have to do law. That's helpful. Tell me something like that. Tell me that he's the savior of all humanity. Tell me that I'm justified in spite of my sin. Tell me that I'm freed from sin while smoking a cigarette. Maybe that will warm my heart. But don't just say, Jesus will warm your heart on even the coldest day. That is not helpful. In fact, if we went to your church, I'm sure you'd deny the very thing. The only time your heart's warmed in the Baptist church, including the Lighthouse Baptist Church of Windber, Pennsylvania, is when it's burning in hell at medium rare temperature. Slow burn. It's a slow burn. So, I like what Clyde says on page 73 of The Church in Ruins. He's drawing a parallel passage from Numbers 16, verses 5 and 26, because he calls the sons of Korah wicked men. Listen to this. I'm quoting from Clyde's book here. This is in the days of Moses. And he, Moses, spoke unto Korah. And you're going to see what the sin of Korah was. And this sin is going on today. This is the iniquity that's happening today in Christianity. Moses spoke unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who are his. Isn't that interesting? The Lord will show you who are his. And back in 2 Timothy 2, we read yesterday, I told you, verse 19, howbeit the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knew those who were his. Let everyone who is naming the name of the Lord withdraw from injustice. I believe this is a parallel passage. My friend Clyde is a genius to spot this. The Lord knows those who are his. And Moses said, the Lord will show who are his and who is holy and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. And he, Moses, spoke unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. What was their sin? Korah opposed the authority of Moses. No, but a lot of people didn't like Moses. You know, they complained about Moses. Moses, you've taken us into this wilderness. We had nice onions and leeks, and we had some good meat there over in Egypt. You've taken us into this wilderness. We don't trust you. So there was a competing tabernacle, and this guy Korah says, yeah, who is this Moses? So he really established an insurrection, and what he did with his persuasive gainsayings, we're going to look at this into Jude 1:11, he established a competing tabernacle in the wilderness. I mean, like, it's like setting up a competing lemonade stand. It's like, that guy got crappy lemonade. You don't want that. I got a lemonade stand over here. It's much better. That's what Korah did. He set up a competing tabernacle. He fanned the insurrection of people who were disgusted with Moses. I got a better tabernacle. Come over here. But you do not come up against God's anointed one. And what happened to the sons of Korah is they imitated the truth. They set up a competing tabernacle, and God said, depart from these wicked men, get away from their tents. He told everybody in Israel, get away from their tents, because something bad's going to happen. And it did. The ground, I don't know if you remember this, the ground opened up and it swallowed the tents of Korah and his entire family. Yeah, that's God's opinion of a, quote, competing tabernacle. Christianity today has a competing tabernacle. Moses, as you know, was God's divinely appointed messenger to Israel. And Korah thought, man, this guy, he's all right, but I can do it better. And he established this tabernacle to the point of delusion. It deluded many people because it probably looked exactly like the tabernacle in the wilderness. But it was a false tabernacle. So now I'm taking this to today. Today, it's the same way with Christendom. Paul is now the appointed, divinely appointed messenger of the body of Christ. And Christianity has become an imitation of it. The real thing is the ecclesia, the body of Christ. And those who would dare to build a competing tabernacle, they are now your enemies. And I say, depart from their tents. But the problem is that, you know, well, it's not a problem. It's a great thing that God is now conciliated to the world through Christ. But there is going to come a time when God is going to destroy the religions of this world, just as he swallowed up the tents of Korah, who would dare come against God's appointed messenger. Paul is the appointed messenger today. And anyone who comes against him and builds a competing tabernacle, and I don't care how good it looks, I don't care how many words they use that sound like the right words. They may name the name of Jesus. That doesn't matter. Jesus is going to say, many will come in my name. So that could be a very, very well be and is a false tabernacle. They may sing Christian songs, but you need to look at the message. Paul is our messenger for today. And I'll tell you again that this iniquity of the context, depart from iniquity, it's religious iniquity. Jude talks about Korah. I never thought I'd get a kick out of the book of Jude, but here it is. Jude chapter 1. Well, yeah, there's only one chapter in Jude. Verse 11, woe to them, for they went the way of Cain, and in the deception of Balaam's wages were they poured out, and in the contradiction of Korah they perished. What's the way of Cain? The way of Cain is a bloodless religion. Cain offered the fruit of the ground. God wanted blood at the time, and he rejected the sacrificial requirements of God, and it's called the way of Cain. And Christianity is a bloodless religion in that they don't recognize the power of the blood of Christ. They disdain it. They add free will to it. They say that it's ineffectual, and it's a religious context. That's my point here. The deception of Balaam's wages. Who was Balaam? He's the guy that said he would curse Israel for a wage, for a price. Curse Israel. It has to do with spiritual. This is spiritual warfare. That's what you're in today. That's what I'm in. We're in the middle of a war, and there are unbelievers who are posing as believers, building competing tabernacles. Then we go on in Jude, and they were poured out, and in the contradiction of Korah, they perished. What's the contradiction of Korah? Besides a great statement, the contradiction of Korah. I love that. But I hate what it represented. The Greek word there is antilogia, contradiction, antilogia. Anti is instead of, and logia is word, to say. Instead say. They say things that sound good that's instead of the truth. It's in opposition to the truth. In that day, it was opposition to Moses. In this day, it's opposition to Paul. I want to go on in Jude here because this is poetry. Now, I don't pretend to understand all of this, but I got to read this to you in Jude. Don't often get here, but this is magnificent. These are reefs in your love feasts, carousing with you fearlessly. I love that. Reefs in your love. I'm going to adopt this phrase. I think it's a good one. You're a real reef in my love feast, you know? I'm having a love feast going on here with Christ, the love of God, the love of Christ as demonstrated at the cross. You're a reef in my love feast. That's another name for, I think that's a biblical phrase for a killjoy. And I'm going to start endorsing this phrase. Man, you're a real reef in my love feast. Go on in Jude 12. They are reefs in your love feast, carousing with you fearlessly. They're carousing with you fearlessly, these false prophets, false shepherds, false apostles. They're carousing. They're shepherding themselves. Waterless clouds carried aside by winds. Yeah, waterless cloud. That sign in front of that church was a waterless cloud. Remember, rain was a great thing in Israel. It portends to be something great. Come here for a great revelation. But it's a waterless cloud. All you see is a trite little saying, a platitude. Jesus can warm your heart, even though we don't need that crap. We need truth. That's a waterless cloud carried aside by winds. Trees that are sere, unfruitful, twice dying, uprooted, wild billows of the sea, frothing forth their own shame. This is poetry. Now, you are just, you know what, you people at the lighthouse, you're just frothing forth your own shame. You're a reef in my love feast. You know, get out of my life. That's what Paul means by shun. Trees that are sere, unfruitful, twice dying, uprooted, wild billows of the sea, frothing forth their own shame, straying stars, for whom the gloom of darkness has been kept for an eon. And that's true. Straying stars, for whom the gloom of darkness has been kept for an eon. When I hear gloom of darkness, I think of death. And we know that those who do not obey the gospel of Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, those who don't hear and heed this message, they're going to die, and they're not going to live until 1,000 years are finished. All right, that's enough for today. Thank you, Clyde Pilkington, for writing this excellent book. Thank you for the illumination. Really, I'm thanking Jesus Christ and my God. I'm thanking him for the illumination that sees iniquity, the worst iniquity. You remember, Jesus was a friend of the prostitutes and the sinners and the tax collectors. The worst iniquity today is found in the churches. It's the contradiction of Korah. And I want you to avoid it like the plague.